Scary Story Collection, 15 Scary Short Stories, written by Stories from the Attic, narrated by Robin McConnell. The Bees. Being a reporter for a local newspaper is a strange occupation. In essence, it's exactly the same as being a reporter for a major news organization. I mean, the actual processes are the same. You find a story, you interview those involved or closest to the story, and then you find a way to present the facts to the public in a factual and, if possible, entertaining way. The practicalities of the task are the same. The difference is the stories. Most stories you cover in the local newspaper are boring. If they weren't, then they wouldn't be in the local newspaper in the first place. They'd be in the nationals. At a major newspaper, stories are like planets. They have satellites. Other smaller stories that circulate around the main thread. In the trade, we call this soft news, the finer detail stories that come with a big piece. For example, when there is some kind of major incident, the hard facts dominate the front page, but page 2 and 3 will cover individual stories of those affected, peripheral stories, joined to or within the orbit of the main story. What is the response of the government to this incident? What incidents like this have occurred in the past? What do celebrities think about this incident, and what do the public think of what they think, and so on? As the days wear on, the soft news pieces become more and more tenuous, only linked by the thinnest thread of relevance, until finally the story has run its course and the process begins again. In a local paper, however, everything is an irrelevance. The main stories don't have satellites, because they themselves would not even qualify as a peripheral story on a national level. Most stories in local newspapers are exercises in weaving narratives from scraps in an attempt to elevate the mundane and the banal into something almost worth reading. Sometimes, however, even in the tiny, underpopulated corner of the universe, a comet flashes by, a celestial body so large that not only would it make national news, but would change how we think about what is and isn't possible. Then the story becomes too big for even the national papers, because they live in fear of printing anything that might turn out to be misleading or a hoax. These stories have to find other outlets. This story, Arthur's story, is one of those. I first met Arthur Shirk in October of 2015. I'd turned up at his small, terraced house with the intention of interviewing him about his dog, a dog which had apparently been accepted to compete at the prestigious dog show Crufts, a feat which would automatically elevate the talented tail wagger to the status of single biggest celebrity ever to come out of the town of Wentfield in its entire long and tedious history. The first thing I noticed upon arriving at Arthur's home, however, was the man's worryingly excitable demeanour. He seemed positively ecstatic at the prospect of being able to talk to me, like a prisoner being told moments before he was due at the gallows that he was to be freed on account of there being a national shortage of rope. The second thing I noticed was the conspicuous lack of a dog. Rushing forward before I had even entered the house, he grasped my hands in his own and shook both of them furiously, as if a single conventional handshake would not be sufficient.
"Oh, hello, hello!"
he exclaimed, pumping my hands jerkily.
"I'm so glad you're here, so glad! You'll see in a moment. Please, come inside, come inside!"
As he said this, he turned and opened the door into the tiny house, as I wondered what in God's name he was going to surprise me with in place of the clearly fictional dog. As a personal interest piece, Arthur's house in and of itself could have been a double-page feature. A few steps inside revealed him to be dealing with the twin compulsions of being an obsessive hoarder, whilst also being meticulously neat. I had visited the homes of hoarders before. Usually they were foul-smelling places, the entire dwelling swirling with a noxious mixture of mould, dust, and dampness. In most, the actual living area was a cramped corner amongst the constructed nest of squalor. Magazines and junk mail dating back decades, yellowing and dried by central heating, would be found stuffed into every crevice, whilst pile upon pile of junk and ephemera was assembled around, covering every possible piece of floor space. In one half,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?